The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Elbert Lewis. Today my rant is entitled, The Perfect Solution. I was finishing up breakfast this morning, sipping my coffee and reading the newspaper, and I came across a headline that just about knocked me off of the stool at the breakfast bar. And this headline reads, Inmate says he's too obese for execution. In fact, he was on death row, and his execution date is fast approaching. And his lawyer now is trying to suspend or delay his execution. And the reason for the appeal is that his client is too fat. Yes, his client, after 30 years on death row at taxpayers' expense, is morbidly obese. And this lawyer has the audacity, the gall, to use that as a legal maneuver to help this guy evade justice. And I thought, what in the world is this country coming to when we seriously consider obesity as an excuse to postpone or to deny justice, to deny the death penalty for a cold-blooded murderer? What kind of society are we to send somebody to prison to gorge himself at taxpayers' expense? And this guy shot and killed a woman 30 years ago. She was a clerk in a hotel. Now, I don't know all the facts around the case because they haven't been publicized, or at least recently. But we do know, because he received the death penalty, that it was premeditated, cold-blooded murder, or a murder committed in the commission of a felony. And this joker has been sitting on death row in prison at our expense getting fat. No, correct that. Getting obese. In fact, morbidly obese. And now his lawyer is arguing that because of the difficulty in finding veins in this joker's arms, and because the death gurney, the table you lay on during the execution, may not support his weight, that he's too big to be executed. They say that if the nurse or doctor, whoever inserts the IV, can't find his vein and have to make two or three attempts, that's cruel and unusual punishment. That's too much pain for this guy to endure before he dies. Now, I bet you that if he need a medical procedure to prolong his worthless life, that he'd undergo that pain, and the lawyer wouldn't say a thing about it. But since it's required in order to carry out his execution, all of a sudden, it's cruel and unusual. It's terrible. Put this man through all this pain of several little thin needles trying to find a vein in his arm. Oh, it's terrible. That is what set my blood boiling. But the title for the rant I got several weeks ago. Do you recall the mass shooting that resulted in the wounding of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords? Well, finally, the nutcase who did the shooting came to his senses. I don't know if he needed medication or whatever. Who knows? But he finally pleaded guilty, and he was sentenced to life in prison. And they were interviewing several of the victims, the ones that survived. I think he killed around 6-7 people, including a 7-8-year-old girl. And I think the interview that caught my attention was the lady that I believe took the little girl to the political rally to meet her congresswoman. And this woman said she was fairly happy with the sentence that this guy got because there are no perfect solutions. And I thought, what? What is she talking about? Maybe she's still traumatized from the shooting. But from my point of view, there is definitely a perfect solution. And let me tell you what it is. You might be thinking that I'm going to say the death penalty, since I started off my rant by ridiculing a lawyer who's trying to get his client off of death row because of his obesity, but no, that's not the perfect solution I'm advocating. As I get into my rant, you'll understand why. One of the arguments that the Bleeding Heart liberals put forward against the death penalty is that, first of all, that it's we don't have the right to do that, that God creates life and only God can take a life. But as I read my Bible, to be specific, Matthew 22:21, and as I look at my Bible, it's written in red because I have a red letter edition. So that means that these words were actually spoken by Christ. And I quote, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Now, at the time, Caesar was the civil authority. So we no longer have Caesars, but we do have legitimate civil authorities. And in our case, it's our local, state, and federal governments. So according to this Bible, Christ said, "Render unto Caesar's." What is Caesar? And if Caesar, the government, decides that the penalty for murdering someone is death, then God says, or Jesus said, and to my understanding of the Christian religion, he's infallible and would not say anything that God did not want him to say. So as a good Christian, if Caesar, or in our case, the government says the penalty for murder is death, then any good Christian should abide by that. But you have these holier-than-thou so-called Christians out there questioning not only the government, but their own Bible, which says, "Render unto Caesar." What is Caesar? Allow the death penalty for murder, because that's what the government has decreed is the penalty. But they somehow think they're above it all, that they know more than their God. They know more than what's written in their own holy book. Come on. The other part of the argument that really bugs me, these same Christians, or at least people in the same denominations, that decry and bemoan the death penalty, they will applaud our troops going off to war. They will send their ministers, their priests, their rabbis out to bless the troops and their weapons as our troops go to war, inflicting shock and awe on Iraqis and other nationalities and killing tens, hundreds, thousands, and tens of thousands of people. But when it comes to this same government taking the life of a vicious, unredeemable animal in human disguise who may have, in the case I spoke of, shot and murdered an innocent, helpless woman, or in other cases who may have savagely brutalized, raped, murdered, and dismembered, or otherwise brutally taken the life of an innocent child. You will have the same people standing outside of a prison in a candlelight vigil protesting the execution of a vicious criminal. But that same person, a week later, might have a yellow ribbon displayed on their automobile tied around their tree, or they might be at an airport welcoming home a member of our armed forces who might have participated in activities that resulted in the deaths of innocent women and children. Maybe not intentionally, but it happens. When you drop bombs, innocent people die. Think about it. If somebody targeted Wright-Patterson or some other Air Force base, they're not only going to kill military personnel, they're going to be civilian employees that die too. There may even be a child care facility on the base. Who knows? Do you see the hypocrisy? Don't let me get on this hypocrisy thing, because that's a whole nother podcast and I could spend days talking about that. Another argument you hear against the death penalty is it costs too much. It takes years, decades to execute somebody. It's unfair to the taxpayer. Yeah, but they forget that they are the very ones who make it expensive, because they protest, they hire lawyers to stonewall, to find every little bitty fault. If somebody says something the least bit out of line, they find a way to open that up to a canyon and file delay after delay after legal maneuver to keep these animals alive. And that's why it costs so much money. That's why this clown could sit there for 30 years in prison, pack on 200 or 300 pounds, and then claim he's too fat to execute. How ridiculous is that? The third most often stated objection to the death penalty is that they say it's not a deterrent to murder. Well, for those of you who think like that, do a little research, and it's easy on the internet. Compile a list of people who have been sentenced to life or lengthy prison terms for murder. Then compile a list of the people these murderers killed while in prison or after they were paroled. Did they kill other inmates? They could have killed prison guards, prison wardens, prison doctors, prison nurses, prison dentists. They could have been paroled and gone on to kill other innocent people out in civilized society. And then compile a list of people who have been executed for murder. Then compile a list of the people they killed after they were executed. After you compare the list, because I guarantee you that there will be a list, I don't know how long, of people who have killed other human beings after they were sent to prison for murder. Compare that list to the list of people that were killed by murderers after they were executed. I guarantee you that list will have zero names on it. On one hand, you have victims of people who have served time for murder. On the other hand, you have a completely empty list of people that were killed by murderers after they were executed. And then look yourself in the eye, walk into your bathroom or some other mirror, and look yourself in the eye and hold these two lists up and tell yourself the execution of murderers is not a deterrent. It is. Murderers who are executed will never murder again. Hell, that's the ultimate deterrent. Now, for those of you who stuck with me through all my ranting, I won't keep you in suspense any longer. Let me get to the reason for this rant. Let me lay out my perfect solution. In the great state of Alaska, at the end of the Aleutians, there is an island called Attu, A-T-T-U, and it's about 344 square miles. A little history on this island. During World War II, during the Battle of Midway, the Japanese launched an invasion of Attu Island as a diversion to the main Battle of Midway, and it's the only American soil that was ever occupied by the Japanese. But subsequently, the U.S. sent a force, and they landed on the island and kicked the Japanese off, the ones they didn't kill. It was uninhabited before the Japanese invaded. And it's been uninhabited since World War II, except for a naval weather station. So my perfect solution is to exile every vicious criminal in this country to Attu Island. We build some barracks for them. We send enough food every year to feed them. But we exile the murderers, the rapists, the barbarians who cannot live in a civilized society. Let me tell you why banishment is the perfect solution. The religious nuts will be happy because they're not participating in a government and a nation that executes criminals. Even though shock and awe is cool with them, we simply banish violent criminals to Attu Island. Then they will no longer be part of civilized society. They will no longer have the opportunity to rape, rob, and murder innocent people. The fiscal conservatives like me would be happy because it won't cost so much. Once we build the facilities and banish them, it's a one-term cost. Yeah, we have to feed them, but it wouldn't cost that much. Send them enough MREs to feed them every year, every month, or however often we decide to resupply them, as long as it's not enough to make them obese. Michelle Obama would not go for that. Oh no. Hey, perhaps they could even grow their own food. The cost would be minimal, and we could also use it as a training area. and keep naval warships stationed there 24/7, 365 days a year, with the authorization to fire on any vessel or aircraft that approaches the island to attempt to evacuate any of these dregs of society off of the island. And then we come to the prisoners themselves. They have clearly demonstrated that they, for whatever reason, cannot function in civilized society and obey the rules. So by banishing them to Attu Island, we actually give them the type of society that they really want. They want to live in a society where they are free to victimize and rape and rob and murder each other. So we give them the exact society that they want. And yes, there will be all types there. There will be doctors, lawyers, construction workers, dentists. There will be men and women. And so they will all have to undergo sterilization. So they will never procreate and bring forth any innocent children to be victimized. So you see, I have all the bases covered. The self-righteous do-gooders are happy. The fiscal conservatives are happy. And the criminals are ecstatic because they have no laws to abide by. And they can victimize each other to their heart's content and will be as happy as bedbugs sharing a mattress with a morbidly obese man that can't get up. It's beautiful. It's poetic justice. It's the perfect solution. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from the Edge.